Welcome back to Ayal's Geography Corner. Today, we'll be taking a look at the Republic of Belarus, a Slavic country in Eastern Europe that's all too often overshadowed by its older brother, Russia. So without further ado, let's get started by taking a look at the etymology of Belarus. The origin of Belarus's name is intertwined with that of the term Belarus, meaning White Rus. There is no clear origin for this name, but a popular theory is that it was originally used for the Ruthenian lands taken by the Grand Duchy of Lithuania. Rus is often used synonymously with the term Russia, and thus the land came to be known as White Russia, a term still used to refer to Belarus today in the German, Belgian, and Afrikaans languages. The term Belarusia then came into use under the Russian Empire, when it was divided into parts of Lesser and White Russia. However, White Russia was later confused with the group that opposed the Bolsheviks, and thus the name was changed to Bielorussia. Finally, with the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the nation finally changed its name to Belarus, which is how it is known today. So with that done, let's move on to the rather unique flag. The flag of Belarus is a horizontal bicolor of red and green, with red on top and covering twice as much of the flag as the green. Along the hoist side of the flag is a red and white traditional Belarusian pattern, which makes this flag incredibly unique. The flag is very new, only being put into place in 2012, and follows a 2:1 length to width ratio. Interestingly, there's no official meaning behind the flag's colors. And as that's all there is to talk about, let's talk about the national emblem. The national emblem of Belarus is rather complex, so I'll do my best to describe it, but I would recommend using a photographic reference for further simplification. The national emblem of Belarus is circular in shape, and is mostly divided into the sides, the center, and the bottom. The sides of the emblem are lined with stalks of wheat covered with flowers. On the left are pink clover flowers, and on the right are blue flax flowers. Wrapped around the flowers, almost like a bouquet, are ribbons in the colors red and green, the colors of the flag. At the very top of the emblem is a red star, an allusion to the time spent as a Soviet Socialist Republic. In the middle of the flag is a green outline of the nation's land area, and beneath it is a globe, centered on the Slavic countries, primarily Russia, with a rising sun behind it. At the very bottom of the flag is the same green and red ribbon surrounding the flowers with the word Republic of Belarus written in Belarusian, an often forgotten Slavic language. And speaking of Belarus' time as a Soviet Socialist Republic, let's take a look at some of this nation's history. Belarusian history is deeply intertwined with that of the Slavic peoples, who were some of the first settlers to the lands that would become Belarus, coming here between the 6th and 8th centuries CE. The different Slavic groups took to forming principalities in the region, which in the 9th century all fell under the control of the Kievan Rus, the very first East Slavic nation. The economy was primarily hunting and agriculture based, and trade started to develop along the many rivers. Towns and settlements began to spring up, including Brest, haha, very funny, first mentioned in 1019, and Minsk, the present capital, first mentioned in 1067. The Kievan Rus reigned until 1240, when the Mongols invaded and vassalized the nation, making it a pawn of the Great Golden Horde. Once the Mongols retreated, however, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania took control of much of the land, permitting them a large degree of autonomy and giving them the framework for the Belarusian language to come into its own. After performing a union with Poland, Lithuania lost large swaths of land to the powerful Grand Principality of Moscow. However, most of the now Belarusian land remained under Lithuanian control. Despite many religious disputes in the coming years, most of the Belarusians remained under Polish or Lithuanian control until the end of the 18th century, when Catherine II, in the first partition of Poland, claimed for Russia the eastern chunk of what is now Belarus. Two more partitions of Poland later, and the entirety of present-day Belarus had become part of the Russian Empire. Now from here up until Belarus became a Soviet Socialist Republic in 1919, Belarusian history was mostly the same as Russian history of the same time period. However, the Belarusians were somewhat slower at industrializing, and as such, many people began to emigrate from the region, primarily to Siberia and the US. For a short time, part of Belarus was under German control, but that quickly reversed itself after the end of World War I. Then, on January 1st of 1919, the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic was announced by the Bolsheviks. The stability of this nation lasted only 4 months before Poland invaded and reset its boundaries to that of its first partition. What remained of the Belarusian SSR became one of the founding nations of the USSR on the day before New Year's Eve, 1922. Belarus gained significant territory in the east after it was granted by the USSR. However, this was overshadowed by the purges conducted against citizens of the Belarusian SSR by the USSR. In the next few years, once World War II started, Belarus reclaimed much of its land from Poland after the joint German and USSR invasion. However, when Germany set their sights on the Soviets in 1941, the Belarusian SSR was quickly overrun despite their stalwart defense, especially put up by those defending the Brest Fortress. Stop laughing. When the war ended, the captured parts of Poland were formally ceded to the Belarusian SSR, and all the Poles living there were deported to Poland. Interestingly, the Belarusian SSR was given its own seat in the newly formed United Nations General Assembly, despite being only a part of the larger USSR. By the early 1970s, the capital Minsk had exceeded 1 million residents. However, in 1986, disaster struck in neighboring Ukraine. The Chernobyl disaster poured radioactive materials into Belarus, leaving it the most irradiated nation as a result of this disaster, even more than Ukraine itself. An entire fifth of the nation was blanketed in radiation, some of which is still devoid of human life today. After Gorbachev announced much more laid-back policies, many Soviet socialist republics attempted to break off from the USSR. However, Belarus was not amongst the first, only declaring sovereignty and independence in 1990 and 1991, respectively. The nation then formally changed its name to the Republic of Belarus, as it started to introduce elections. However, once President Alexander Lukashenko was elected in 1994, he changed the constitution to extend his term greatly, and in fact, he still remains the president of Belarus at the time of recording this, leading many to refer to Belarus as Europe's last dictatorship. Under Lukashenko's leadership, Belarus turned away from the West and began to work only with the East, especially Russia. However, over the past few decades, Belarus has slowly started opening up to the West, even improving relations with the EU to a degree. And that's primarily where the country of Belarus stands today. So, after all that, let's move on and take a look at the demographics of this nation. Belarus has a population of around 9.4 million people. Of these, around 83.7% are ethnically Belarusian, 8.3% are Russian, 3.1% are Polish, 1.7% are Ukrainian, and the remaining 3.2% is made up of all other ethnic groups, especially from the Baltics. The national languages of Belarus are Belarusian and Russian, the former being a language greatly suppressed throughout history by the latter, but which has started to come into its own as of late, once again. Around half of Belarus follows Eastern Orthodoxy, while two-fifths are non-religious and the remaining 10% are primarily Roman Catholic. Around 78% of the population lives in an urban environment, a stark contrast to Belarus' early days as an agricultural center, primarily due to World War II. Belarusian food is mostly made of locally grown food, especially potatoes, which are made into pies, pancakes, and dumplings. Cheese and bread are also food staples. Belarus is filled with beautiful architecture, especially on monuments such as the Cathedral of St. Sophia, built in the unique Eastern Orthodox style. The nation uses the .by top-level domain, its currency is the inflation-fraught Belarusian ruble, Type-C and F power outlets are in use, cars drive on the right side of the road, and the national anthem is simply called State Anthem of Belarus. Would it really hurt to have been a little more creative, guys? Anyway, with that done, let's move on to the geography of Belarus. Belarus is a decent-sized country, clocking in at 80,000 square miles, or 408,000 square kilometers. The nation is primarily made up of flat lowlands, with some flat-topped hills dividing them. Down in the far south lie the Pripyat Marshes, around the River Pripyat, one of the largest wetlands in all of Europe. The nation's highest point is, and I'm probably going to butcher this name, Dzarzynskaya Hill, which is only 1,135 feet, or 346 meters tall. Belarus is a very wet country, with over 20,000 streams and 10,000 lakes. The nation is very chilly all year round, seeing maximum summer temperatures only in the mid-60 degrees Fahrenheit or around 18 degrees Celsius. The January lows, on the other hand, can go as low as the mid-20s or teens in Fahrenheit, approximately between negative 4 and negative 8 degrees Celsius. Belarus was once covered in forests, but sadly deforestation for farmland has taken much of these glorious trees away. The trees are primarily conifers, as they're found across the country. In the west, on and crossing the border with Poland, is the Belowieszkaya Fortress, whose name I likely butchered. It is one of the largest remaining primeval mixed forests in all of Europe, and the Belarusian side is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This forest is incredibly special, as it is the main home of the previously extinct European bison, which was brought back via captive breeding after World War I saw their extinction in the wild. Throughout the country, plenty of small mammals can be found, such as foxes, squirrels, beavers, hares, badgers, and some larger animals like deer, elk, and boars. So now, let's take a look at the borders and boundaries of Belarus before wrapping things up with its foreign relations. Belarus is a landlocked country in Eastern Europe, bordered by five other nations: Poland in the west, Lithuania in the northwest, Latvia in the north, Russia in the east, and Ukraine in the south. The capital and largest city is Minsk, a city that was rebuilt from nearly the ground up after its almost complete destruction in World War II. Belarus is divided up into six voblasti and one horad, which is the city of Minsk. The Voblasti are each named after their administrative center, these being Brest, I said stop laughing, Gomel, Grodno, Mogilev, Minsk, which ironically doesn't contain the city of Minsk itself, and Vrbetsk. And as that's really all there is for the political landscape, it's time to end things off with the foreign relations of Belarus. Due to many controversies, Belarus isn't all that friendly with too many nations. Of course, its absolute greatest ally is, without a doubt, Russia, but Belarus is also close to Ukraine as well. Relations with the EU are very tense, as Belarus has been rated as the least free country in Europe time and time again. In fact, Belarus is the only country in Europe to still enforce the death penalty. Of course, Belarus is a member of the United Nations, but is also a part of some other organizations, such as the Organization on Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, and is also included in the EU's European Neighborhood Policy. And with all that said, it looks like we've come to the end. Thank you for listening, and be sure to stay tuned for Belgium next week.